You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
We are constantly surrounded by the message that mom life is the tired life, the no time for myself life, the hard life. And while it can be hard and full of lots of showing up for others, the idea that being a mom means living a joyless life, a stale or shit show kind of life all the time, is something I am passionate about putting a stop to. My name is Ali Casaza, and I'm about to make your life so much lighter. You are listening to The Purpose Show. A quick note, because it is so important to me that I am able to authentically be myself and speak the way that I normally speak here on my podcast, not sugarcoat or be vanilla or wear a different mask when I'm talking to you guys here. You'll find the occasional curse word on my show. So if that bothers you, if it's not something you want your kids to hear, grab your headphones, girl. The Purpose Show podcast is part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other awesome shows like this one. Friends, I am so excited to finally say that the Declutter Like a Mother Planner is officially here and launched and available for purchase. I am literally so freaking excited about this. This is the official Declutter Like a Mother Planner. I have always wanted to make a planner because I am a planner girl myself, and I have never really found like the perfect planner. So I created it. Basically, this is an undated planner because I hate when there's like month and year already assigned to it. Like, you don't know when I'm going to start using my planner. Get off my back. This is undated, so you can start and use it whenever you want. There's weekly and monthly and daily planning within the planner. So it's everything that you need. Also, there is space for gratitude or affirmations. There's space for you to write notes to yourself, space for you to keep this a very positive, high vibe space for yourself. And there is exclusive content from me that's designed to help you be actively decluttering your space and your life, and keeping yourself on track with living a simplified, abundant life and doing everything we talk about here on the podcast and in my books and in my corner of the internet. So this is the official planner from me. Go get it. You can get it anywhere books are sold: Target, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, your favorite indie bookstore, or online indie store, literally anywhere. Go get it. I am so excited. The Declutter Like a Mother Planner. Make sure you tag me, and I want to see that you got it. So let's celebrate together. I love you guys. Thank you for supporting me. Hello, my loves. Welcome back to the Purpose Show podcast. I am back with my good friend, Dr. Missy Greider. We are doing a follow-up episode. She did an incredible interview with me. Honestly, it was a really, really good, really powerful and helpful episode on a very heavy topic. We talked about physical and sexual abuse signs, like what to watch for, how to talk to your kids. Missy has created a kids safety box, the body safety kit that you can purchase for your kids and purchase for classrooms to kind of just help guide that conversation. And it was just a really, really good conversation, even though it was such a heavy, uncomfortable topic. It's very important. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about just general parenting, general raising kids, and meeting their needs. So Missy, welcome back and thank you for hanging with us again.
Thank you so much for having me again, Ali. I'm so glad to be here with all of you today.
Okay, let's dive in with a little bit about you and how you got started in all of this, what brings you to what you're bringing to the table, and then we'll jump into the conversation.
Sure, sounds great. So, Ali, I help parents teach their kids how to handle their feelings, especially the tough feelings. My background is in elementary education. I taught first and second graders for many years. And as a new teacher just starting out, I always wanted to help create classrooms where kids felt really seen, known, welcomed, and valued. And I feel like, unfortunately, Ali, we've turned our kids into test scores who aren't known at many schools as well as they could be. And we can really do better for our kids. And what we've learned research-wise, Ali, about human development is that social and emotional learning and health are actually the greatest predictors of relational and professional success in adulthood. And this is surprising for most people. This just isn't where most moms are focusing our attention. And it's not about all the academics, all the extracurriculars. And of course, these have value, but it's the human skills, Allie, that our kids need most and sadly are taught the least. So this is why I do the homework for parents. Let me do the studying for you and let me consolidate it for you. Meeting Kids Needs is my newest project where I make the latest research really easy for parents to use at home. Meeting Kids Needs is filled with really short and easy to watch video lessons with super practical, action-oriented steps for parents to actually apply the research into your home and raise emotionally intelligent kids who have the skills to manage their tough feelings, which we all are going to have throughout our lives, and choose really healthy, fulfilling relationships for a lifetime.
So, I already have a question really quick.
Yes, please.
Okay. So, you talked about like, we have made our kids test scores. And yeah. I really love that you said it that way. I like being a mom that has home educated or had my kids at home with like a tutor or a private teacher or something online.
Yes.
Now they're in public school. And it's been a real adjustment for all of us, myself included. And I want to ask you, like, just right out the gate.
Sure.
The general vibe, obviously, like teacher to teacher, everyone's very different.
Totally.
But the general vibe of my experience so far with the school system and with the teachers is that the test scores are like king and it matters so much. Like the academics are so vitally important. It's like everything. How as parents can we handle ourselves and kind of like, I don't want to say stand up for our kids because it kind of positions you at war with the teachers, which sure. I do not feel like that's their intent at all.
No.
And it's definitely not mine. But sure. How can we kind of like stand up for like, well, there's also other things at play here that are ultimately more important than academics when it just feels like they're putting so much pressure and such a highlight on that part of a kid's growth?
I get it. And there's just so much pressure there, Allie, that isn't beneficial for anybody. And I'm speaking from my own personal experience. I was that high academic kid. I was commencement speaker in college. I did get straight A's. And it's like that didn't overly serve me well either. So I feel like I have a really unique perspective to offer. Certain kids are wired in certain ways. And I think by overemphasizing just all these straight quote academics, we're not valuing individual kids and their individual gifts and talents. It doesn't mean that they're not a bright child with a ton of beautiful gifts and talents to offer. They might just not be that quote academic kid in the narrow definition that sometimes school systems are using. Also too, it really grieves me, Allie, that we're not doing social and emotional learning to the extent we need to in our school systems. Almost always we're not doing enough. And truly, there's so much research to support. A kid first needs to feel safe in their classroom. They need to feel welcomed. They need to feel that they matter, that they're, quote, not a piece of furniture in the classroom, like what I've seen in articles I've read. Mm. And, you know, we just need to know them as human beings. And at the end of the day, we're teaching humans. We're not teaching content. We're not teaching math. We're teaching second graders. We're teaching fourth graders. We're teaching 10th graders. You know, we're not teaching content. We're teaching humans. And I think it comes down to really, I hate to say it, but revamping the system as a whole, which is a huge undertaking. But I think as parents, we can advocate for, you know, there's research supporting that even social and emotional learning in the classroom will up test scores. So if we're going to play the test score game, we can phrase it in such a way that social and emotional learning will help that. And at least we're getting our kids a safer feeling environment.
I love that. Like, okay, if that's going to be your most important thing, then I would argue that these other areas are contributing to that or hurting it.
Absolutely. Because who of us, even as adults, are going to feel safe in a classroom or in any setting, say a workplace setting, say in an office setting, mm-hmm. where we don't feel known? If you just feel like a cog in the wheel, you know, what is that doing for you?
Yeah. And like all the research that shows that workplaces that are supportive of people that celebrate birthdays and know yes. when someone's having a baby and they send, they're showing up, there's intention behind the relationship part. The performance is through the roof. Like all the companies that always get voted one of the best places to work, their revenue is like top. That's not a coincidence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's research all in the business sector to completely support that. And our schools are really lagging behind, and it's really a shame. And, you know, just like what you were saying earlier, Allie, it really is dependent on that particular classroom and that particular teacher. But I can speak from experience, if that teacher doesn't have a supportive school environment, district environment, they're going to leave because they can't do what they know is good for kids.
Wow. Is that, if you don't mind me asking, like, is that an experience that you've had that you, like, from a teacher's standpoint, do you feel like there's a lot more support needed?
There is a lot more support needed for teachers. There really is. And there are pockets, Allie, where fantastic things are being done. Mm-hmm. For instance, as moms, you can advocate for something like the responsive classroom approach to be done in your child's school. Tons of research to support that. Dr. Mark Brackett's RULER approach out of Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence. So there are fantastic research-backed, research-based in-school day programs that you can advocate for. And then also meeting kids' needs for families, you know, outside the school where everybody can be learning these things at home for their kids and send kids to school with these skills too.
Okay, another question that's coming up for me is, and I'm going to phrase this just really bluntly because that's my personality, but I hope everyone knows like where I'm coming from. As a parent of multiple kids, you know, some of us are working, running businesses, balancing a million things. How can we, like, what could you tell us if we're like, okay, but like, I send my kids to school because like, there's so much going on. So now it feels like I have to also manage everything going on at the school and like do other homework and meet their needs because the school is not helping with that. Like it's almost like adding to the to-do list. And that is a really, really shitty feeling as a parent. Like you feel so guilty, but it's also real because we are all balancing a lot. Could you speak to that feeling?
Allie, tell me a little bit more. I want to just fully understand your question.
Yeah, of course. So, okay. As a mom, like I'll just use myself as an example. I've got four kids. They each have their own interests. They each have their own passions. They each have their own moods and attitudes. And they're each having their own experience every single day. And all of those experiences, mine included, Brian's when he's here, are all coming together to collide. And everyone's had different, someone's had a good day. Someone's had this day. I'm over here dealing with different things. Sometimes I have a great day. Sometimes I'm stressed the F out. Like everyone is just, it's a lot. And so then there's dinner and there's a laundry list of things in a parent's mind and none of it gets done every day, right? We can simplify, we can make things easier, all of that stuff that I'm here to help with. But at the end of the day, like it's all a lot. And so when I hear like this, the kinds of things is going on in the school and that means the kids need more support, they need this. It just feels like, my God, like can't something just be done well without me having to come in and like do a ton more work. Like I don't want to send my kids to school and then have to undo stuff. It's supposed to help. You know what I mean?
Sure. I completely get that. And I think, Allie, there are so many things that we're doing in schools a lot of times that don't have a clear, high quality purpose behind them. Literally, why are we giving homework to children? Do we give homework to working adults, you know, constantly every day when they've put in a full day? What is the purpose behind what we're doing?
Yes. And they're like, girl, they're sitting, like, it makes me cry actually pretty often because I do miss that part of home education. Like they are sitting there, like little Emmett, like sitting there all day. And then he gets home and it's like, I have homework. Like, what?
Why? Literally, there's no purpose, Allie. There's no purpose.
Oh my God, that makes me so mad.
I can tell you as a teacher, a former teacher that worked in a school district for many years, I was required to give homework. We need to really get strategic and get intentional and examine the purpose behind these practices that we're putting our kids through. Because if they make no sense, there's no point for them to be there. And some parents are just choosing to opt out. You know, they're just choosing to opt out of, you know, you can have a meeting with that teacher and say, you know what? I mean, make a phone call, have that meeting and say, you know, I thank you for what you're doing, you know, for those positive things that are there. But homework is really becoming a stressor for our family. And we're going to choose to opt out of that. You know, seriously, we can be choosers and we have agency in our children's lives. And we've got to really seize manual control over these things that are happening that aren't benefiting our kids or our families. In fact, they're hindrances.
I love that. That makes me feel really good, too, because I felt like I guess I felt, and I'm making this episode a little personable, but I'm hoping that it people that are listening, at least some of them can resonate.
Oh, sure.
I feel like that makes me feel so much better because I don't like to be like the annoying parent. I already feel like there's a certain like, I don't know, vibe when I'm like, oh, we've, you know, they've been home educated up until this point, pretty much except for like 1 year. And I then I'm like, hey, like this homework load just seems really crazy. Like Hudson's only 10.
Sure.
She's really struggling. Like there's been so much good that's come from the school district. Like they, especially my, I know you live near me, the Scottsdale school district. Oh my God. Like it is so good. They have been so supportive of Hudson and learning stuff we're figuring out, ADHD for both he and Bella. Like it's been so good. And
sure.
Also the workload, like being the mom that's like, this is just a lot. Can we work together? And my kids' teachers have been like, of course, yes, let's have a meeting. But I always struggle to like, I don't want to feel like annoying, the squeaky wheel, like a problem. Like, because I respect what teachers are doing. And I respect that they know better than I do what to teach and what order it should go in and the workload. But then it's like so much that the afternoon and evenings are so stressful. It's like,
right.
My gosh, we're like not functioning.
For sure. I totally get that. And, you know, most teachers go into the profession with such good intentions. I mean, it sure isn't a financial reward for them. They're giving up a lot to be there. And most people really are well-intended. And it's just having those purposeful conversations like what you're describing. I mean, I as a teacher would totally appreciate that. And it's just a matter of us systemically making these, you know, institutions healthier for everybody overall, both during the school day and after the kids leave the school day.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. My wheels are like spinning, girl. I'm like, this is what you're doing in both the body kit and this is so important.
Thank you.
Kind of returning our focus to the kids and not their performance.
Yes. Because you know what? Who of us wants to feel like we're only as good as our last A or only as good as our last performance? You know, right. We're all human beings that have nuances and have needs, and the better our own social and emotional needs are met, the better we can offer to the world of our gifts and talents. And it's the same for our children. And we just need to give them this solid foundation for these skills earlier in life so that they're not learning them as adults like most of us have had to do, quite frankly, or most people haven't learned them, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So talk to us more about this whole idea. Like, what does this look like in the home?
Sure. How about, Allie, can I start with like a definition of social and emotional learning? Because I think that's a newer term for most moms. Sure. So thankfully, I believe that the term emotional intelligence has gone totally mainstream. Like everybody's heard of emotional intelligence. Though most moms haven't, in my experience, yet heard that social and emotional learning is how we teach our kids to become emotionally intelligent and really able to create those positive relationships and connections that we all need as people. So social and emotional learning is how we raise emotionally intelligent kids. It's that process of how kids and adults really develop healthy identities, which is so huge. It's just foundational. How we manage our emotions, how we achieve really purpose-driven goals, how we feel empathy, how we form supportive relationships, and really make responsible and caring decisions. And we all want all of these things for our kids, and yet they need to be directly taught in a really skilled and caring way. And if they're not directly taught, our kids are just missing these human skills, the most important skills they need, for, you know, that we're seeing. And for both relational and professional success, our kids are missing these, you know, if they're not directly taught. So
yeah.
There are five components. Don't you agree? I mean, we can't just think our kids are going to absorb these things when we're a lot of us don't have a super good handle on them quite yet ourselves.
Everything is like so backwards. The priorities are flipped.
Yes, totally. And you know, it's just going back to that academic conversation a little bit, Allie, a really cool resource. I had read this book called How to Raise an Adult by Julie Lithcott-Hames, and she's the former dean of freshmen at Stanford. So she was getting these high academic kids, they're coming into her office as freshmen, and they were just floundering. They just didn't have the human skills they needed. There's these super bright kids with these concierge childhoods, but they weren't able to function with like a roommate issue or, you know, something not working. Or if they got a grade that wasn't an A at Stanford, you know, they're just kind of melting down. And that just shows that it's just not all the whole academic thing. That just isn't the totality of what a person needs at all. It's not the foundation.
And I also think like how toxic and damaging to be teaching our kids that that's where their worth lies.
Oh my goodness. Totally. It's really, really true. Let me jump into a little bit of the components of social emotional learning. How does that sound?
Yeah, perfect. Go for it.
Okay. So the first component of social and emotional learning, and this is where we really want to focus kind of a foundation for what we're teaching our kids, is self-awareness. Self-awareness. Kids who are self-aware can understand their own emotions, thoughts, and values, and how these impact their behavior. They can recognize their strengths and limitations with really a grounded sense of confidence and purpose. Huge already, right?
Like, I know, 100%.
You know, how many adults don't yet have these skills? And we want these so badly for our kids. And we have the opportunity as moms, which is so great, that now here we are with this agency as moms to really give our kids a massive head start with these concepts. So the second component of social and emotional learning, so we've got the self-awareness, then we have self-management. So kids with self-management skills, they can manage their own emotions, thoughts, and behaviors, and they can start to achieve their goals and aspirations. They can delay gratification, better manage stress, and really feel motivation and agency to accomplish goals that are in line with that, with their values. So what a gift to start teaching our kids. You can manage your thoughts. Every thought that comes to your head isn't necessarily true and isn't necessarily serving you. And same thing with their feelings. So I feel like, Allie, in some ways, this is like the inner work you talk about for moms, and it's for kids, mm-hmm. You know?
I was just thinking that. And it's like so many, I would say like 99% of the women that I work with, they have these issues that I'm just sitting here thinking, like, not only do these stem from like childhood when you think of like parenting and all that, but like
for sure.
School, like their worth is wrapped up in performance. And we are taught that at a very young age.
Yep. And we shouldn't be. And we get the opportunity to change it. And let's just like seize that opportunity. So the third component of social and emotional learning is social awareness. Kids who are socially aware can start to understand other people's perspectives, of course, as they're developmentally able to do and empathize with others. Socially aware kids can feel compassion for others, and they can recognize sources of support for themselves too. I know for me as a little girl, like when I was little and, you know, I had to kind of unlearn this as an adult, you're thinking it's all about helping other people. It's kind of to the detriment of yourself. And I know I don't have a unique experience there for sure.
Yeah, no, for sure. Okay, so, well, I'll let you keep going.
Oh, sure. So the fourth component of social and emotional learning, Allie, is relationship skills. I mean, how important are these skills? Kids who can communicate clearly, actively listen, cooperate, state their own needs. You know, let's ditch the people pleasing before it starts, ideally. You know, kids who can problem solve and negotiate conflict, and repair skills are a part of this too. These are things we just need throughout our lives. And the final component of social and emotional learning is responsible decision-making. Kids with well-developed responsible decision-making skills can make caring choices when we're not around as parents. You know, we ideally want our kids to be able to make these quality choices when we're not around, because they have agency themselves and they know what is good for them and is also respectful of others.
I'm like, girl, I'm literally sitting here like I'm processing so much and just feeling like I feel, maybe you could speak to this. I feel a mix of hopelessness. Like, is anything ever going to get better? Like in the schools, all the kids are going to school. Mm-hmm. Like, is anything going to get better? And I'm sure you struggle with that. And then I also feel like, wow, like what a huge responsibility is on us as parents. And how good is it that all of us moms here, like listening to The Purpose Show, are like actively trying to simplify and create space to support our kids more in this way. And like even have the mental and emotional space to do these things for them and teach them these things.
Oh, sure. I totally get it. I mean, I can resonate with both of those so much. And it's like, let's try to toggle a little bit more towards that responsibility and the agency, you know, because that just is super helpful for us. And at the same time, you know, holding that feeling of hopelessness of, you know, this is a problem and we can change it and we need to change it. Mm-hmm. They just really go together.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, keep going. Keep teaching us how this works, what we need to know, how we bring this into the home.
Sure, sure. So how about if I share some areas that moms can do right away that we can really start to set our kids up for long-term emotional health? How about that?
Yes, please. And as practical as possible. We love it.
Totally. Super practical. So number one, we can start by having a sense of belonging in our homes for our kids. Dr. Brené Brown's research has been super impactful for me, and this is totally hands-on. She talks about when she was interviewing some middle school kids, and they were describing how painful it was for them to feel like they didn't belong in their own homes. And I think, you know, we can have the tendency as moms, once our kids get to middle school and beyond, we can think, okay, it really is more about belonging with their peers for our kids. Yet these middle schoolers that she was interviewing described the pain of not belonging at home as being much more severe. One kid said his parents were both really into sports and they were really athletic, and he was more of a sci-fi kid, and he just didn't belong. So for us as moms, we can tangibly, practically look at each individual child. And your four kids, Allie, you know, I haven't had the privilege of meeting them in person, but they, I'm sure, are so different individually. And you can look at each child and say, what are the treasures in this child? You know, that kid is going to have a very different set of treasures from your other kid, or different ones from you as a mom, different ones from Brian as their dad. Like, we have to treasure what is in that particular child, and making sure our child senses this unconditional belonging from us as a mom is so important for our kids, like from an attachment standpoint and for them emotionally throughout their lives. They have to feel accepted and valued as a person for who they are uniquely. Does that
okay?
Make-
yes. And I have, so I'm like loaded. I'm ready to talk. Okay. So in this situation, like, and I, you know, when I speak to my mom friends, and everybody has little things like this that I think we kind of like innately feel bad about.
Sure.
So we don't really want to talk about it. And I'm like an open book. I'll talk about it. One of my kids feels like, just kind of in general, he's always like feeling like I don't belong. I'm the outsider. And it's interesting because there are no major like qualities or traits or interests like you gave in your example that are like, oh, wow, like we don't really relate to that. Like we all, somebody gets everybody's interests in this family. Like there's so many of us. And, but he almost just like inherently is like, I don't, but like, it's almost a subconscious, like he came into this world with that feeling. And I'm like always like baffled by it, and always like really working to like, no, like come over here. It's okay. Like you're like, he's just a super emotional, sensitive little guy. And it's just a lot. So I'm like, okay, if we're talking about this, we're talking about making them feel included. What about when it's almost just kind of this natural way of being in the for this kid in the family that he just feels like I'm different, even though you're looking at it and you're like, yeah. No, you're not. Like, where does that come from? And how do we do that? What do we do with that?
Sure. Well, it's sounding as you're describing it to me, Allie, is maybe some type of a wiring issue. I know there are sometimes highly sensitive people, you know.
Definitely a highly sensitive person. Yes.
Yeah. And that's a whole, you know, different area in and of itself. And I think for a child like this, and I don't have a psychology background, my doctorate's in education, so I want to be really clear about that. But I think perhaps just that one-on-one time, which is so much more challenging when you have four kids, you know, and when you are working. But I think that that might be even more of a, you know, really high need for that child. So just things like that. And you as a mom are so purposeful and intentional of at least being on aware of it. I think there's sometimes even a lack of awareness, like what we were talking about with these parents, you know, these athletic parents, that they didn't even have a clue their sci-fi kid felt unincluded.
Yeah, because it's not how you feel. It's right. Like they're misreading the interest, the relationship and what it means. Like it's, I think maybe the kids see like, this is really important to mom and dad, but I don't get it and I can't do it and it's not me. So that means I don't belong.
Right, right, right.
And so interesting.
Yes. This is a practical example that I love, and I hope that this might be applicable for some of your moms. So my mentor's husband, it's reminding me when you're talking about your little guy, Allie, they have two grown boys. They're grown men by now. But my mentor's husband would go into their boys' rooms at night and he would just sit there on the floor. Like talk about the whole holding space concept. Like he would just sit there in the boys' room, like on the ground. And one of the little guys, John, would say, Dad, you know, what are you doing? And he would be like, John, I just want to be close to you. and just kind of giving kids that opportunity and that space. It's not like, you know, face-to-face conversation, but more like side-to-side and at night when sometimes for different kids, things are more readily able to come out, their thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. I think maybe routines like that and rhythms like that can be helpful, or something along those lines that is more in a fit with different people's families that are listening.
I love that. That is so freaking simple. And you know, it reminds me of like when my kids were really little, I used to do that because I had to, like they would be like afraid to go to sleep or, sure. you know, like they'd be a little fussy, especially when I was starting the business. I would just bring my laptop in there and sit on the floor and like let them kind of just giggle and talk while I worked on something until they passed out.
Sure.
And, but now it's like, it's just been so many years. They're older. I'm just like, okay, yeah, good night. Go upstairs. Bye.
Right.
They're like preteens and teens and like still young, but like older kids. And it's like, man, if I just like maybe took turns like a couple nights a week going in their rooms and just sitting and even sure. just like bringing a book and just sitting, like I don't even need to just be there while they fall asleep. If they want to say something, I'm there. I love that.
I'm so glad. I feel like that's just such a great opportunity for connection and love. Like at the end of the day, we're starving for connection in this planet. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And I just think also like, man, I'm trying not to get too emotional because I want to just keep talking about this with you. But it is like, those are the sweet moments that we just lose.
Yes.
From trying and going and going and going. And I really appreciate your perspective because, you know, you're able to kind of be emotionally distanced from it and almost like an aerial perspective and see it parenthood from your experience and all your wisdom and knowledge and just kind of be like, hey, you guys are doing a really great job, but just don't forget about these little things.
Sure, sure. And keep in mind, I mean, use the fact that I finished, you know, my doctoral work 20 years ago on this, and I just have that gift of, you know, studying this for so long. And I'm just glad to be able to bring a little bit of that to moms. You know, I feel like I have kind of a big sister because I'm, you know, a little older than most of the moms these days. So I feel good about being able to hopefully offer that. So thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, continue.
Sure. So number one, you know, we've talked about supporting our kids' long-term emotional health by having a sense of belonging for them. And number two, Allie, we can help our kids develop a really rich emotional vocabulary. And there's so much talk about emotional regulation right now, and yay, that's great. But I think we're missing the first step on that. I know we're missing the first step on that. We first have to help our kids name these emotions. And that step isn't talked about as much as it needs to be. So really the first step in helping our kids manage their emotions and emotionally regulate is they've got to be able to develop a rich emotional vocabulary. And I had mentioned in our last episode, Allie, that most adults know only three emotional vocabulary words. And these are happy, sad, and angry.
That's right.
Yes. And yet we need to know at least 30 emotional vocabulary words to be proficient in emotional conversation. So if we think about it, like how can we really connect with another person, whether it's our child, whether it's our significant other, a close girlfriend, if we can't name these feelings and we can't then therefore enter into their emotional experience, you know? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, we're going to more deeply connect with people we love and love people better if we can enter into name and be able to really sit in those emotions with people. And there's research to support by even naming the precise feeling we're experiencing. This can already begin to lower our stress levels. And it's like a physical health issue, you know? We can get that little, oh, okay, that's what it is. I'm noticing that I'm feeling anguish. That's what it is. And just getting super precise with that language is going to help. And here's another nuance in the language that I think is important for moms as we're teaching our kids these skills. Instead of saying, I am frustrated, try saying, I'm noticing that I am feeling frustrated. Because in that way, Allie, we're not overly identifying with the emotion. There's some mm-hmm. distance there. You know, we're recognizing this emotion as information. It's passing through. And here's the important part. We're the chooser of what we're going to do with it. You know, it's moving from reacting to responding. You know, we're giving ourselves yes. that space. We're choosers. We're moving from reacting to responding. And Allie, this is wild too. There is research to support that people who have a rich emotional vocabulary go to the doctor less often. They use less medication. Mm-hmm. They spend fewer days hospitalized for illness. And all of this is from being able to accurately name our feelings.
I literally was going to say, I wanted to go back to what you had first said, because I had just read this research study that was showing like the physical health, mental health studies and all that, but even just physical health of just being able to name your emotions and giving it space instead of suppressing, like you're literally letting it out of your body when you name it.
Absolutely.
I also wanted to say, like, I have been studying, I'm kind of like a quantum physics nerd. Like, I just think it's fascinating and reading about it, understanding it. And I was reading this one book and they were talking about, it doesn't sound like it's related to quantum physics, but it was the way the author said it, and I'll butcher it. But they were talking about how the words I am in any language, like what comes after the words I am, like it physically, like the frequency of the words I am is so powerful. Like it literally creates, it's like, it's a magnetic phrase, and you have to be so careful and aware what you put out after it. So instead of saying, like you said, I am
frustrated,
heartbroken, frustrated, mm-hmm. angry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Say like, I am feeling so freaking angry at you right now. Like, still let it out, but yes. don't identify. And oh my God, if we could teach our kids this at these ages.
Huge, huge. Yeah. And not only that, Allie, but think about like all the suppression. I mean, I grew up thinking, and it wasn't conscious words that were spoken over me or anything, but it's just like, I grew up thinking I wasn't allowed to get mad. I just brought that onto myself, you know, the whole nice girl, good girl thing. And it's just the suppression isn't doing anybody any favors either, you know? So it's just mm-hmm. like being able to say, I am noticing that I am feeling frustrated, angry, anguish, whatever quote negative emotion it is. And I like to call them challenging emotions instead of negative mm-hmm. because, you know, they're a part of human experience. And we've got to be able to teach our kids to sit with these and to know that not every situation, of course, we have agency over a lot of things, but there are things in our lives, throughout our lives, that we're not going to have agency over. And we need to start, you know, in these little increments, like what we're talking about with these small daily conversations, letting our kids know this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh my God. Okay. This is so good. Is there anything else with this that you feel like you want parents to understand?
Sure. Let me just really dive in quickly to a couple more things.
So, no, of course. I just like, I want to like guide the conversation, but I'm just like literally processing everything that you're saying. So like, please like say whatever you feel we need to know in this episode. I want it to be like loaded for these parents.
Thank you, for sure. Same here. So number three, what we can do to really support our kids, Allie, in these ways, we can normalize that full range of feelings for our kids. We know that an emotion coaching parenting style that Dr. John Gottman talks about is so helpful. So we can look at our kids' feelings, those quote, challenging feelings, as an opportunity for connection and teaching. We're not dismissing our kids' feelings. We're not trying to fix them. We're looking at them as an opportunity for connection and teaching.
So when you say the full range of emotions, you're talking about going beyond the three like main or most popular emotions and like helping them, giving them language to describe all the other emotions and normalizing that you feel them. Okay.
Absolutely. And there's a free lesson at meetingkidsneeds.com. Just click on the free lesson. It's on an emotional vocabulary. Moms, ooh, you've okay. got it for free. Go for it. I'm so happy to gift it to you.
Thank you.
Oh, of course. Another thing, Allie, that's super important, number four in really helping our kids to develop these skills, we can help our kids to recognize the stress response in their bodies and work through them every day. This is setting them up not just for good mental health, good emotional health, but good physical health as well. You know, our kids are going to be feeling stressors every day like we do. And it's a matter of being able to feel those, recognize in our bodies when we're feeling those, and being able to metabolize those daily. So that's super important. There's a really cool practical activity, and I think it's super helpful for kids pre-K through fifth grade and maybe even a little older. Moms can take a picture of our kids from head to toe, print it out, and we can give our kids some of those small round spot Band-Aids. And together as a family, we can talk about where we feel stress in our bodies. Like for me, I'll notice racing heart is one of my go-tos when I'm feeling stressed, or my shoulders hurting right away, or my head kind of feeling like it's on amp, or when I'm really stressed, like the beating eyelid thing, you know, and they're all going to be different for our different kids. And I think, you know, I can remember sitting in my third grade classroom feeling nervous because I'm this little, you know, type A perfectionist kid already at age eight. That's just my wiring, you know, and I was feeling those things and I didn't know to name them. I didn't know to how to offshoot those or how to metabolize those stress chemicals. And we can really teach our kids, you know, self-awareness and body awareness by figuring out where in their body they're feeling these things and creating just some daily practices in our homes, having our homes be that safe refuge, you know, that we talk about, where we can, you know, be able to metabolize these things. We can do physical activity, deep breathing, laughter, physical affection. I have a Need a Good Cry playlist on my phone, you know, whatever's going to work for yes. each kid and each mom, you know, because this is important for all of us, for our physical health. We know that so many health challenges are precipitated by stress. So let's, you know, especially what we've all been through, that nobody really wants to name what we've been through the past couple of years, but it's been hard on all of us. And it's like, let's really care for ourselves beyond self-care to soul care. Let's just get it done for ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And normalizing for ourselves, like modeling for ourselves and then modeling it in ourselves for our kids, normalizing it for them, that you manage your stress, you express your emotions. I've been dealing my whole adult life. I've been dealing with a hormone disorder where, like, if my cortisol spikes, like when I'm doing a really hard workout or something, my body cannot handle it. It goes into fight or flight, holds on to fat. Like, it's, and this is from, like, I know what I believe, and I believe it is from emotional suppression, stressing the F out, having constant anxiety, like generalized anxiety disorder, panic attacks when I was a young adult. Like there is so much energy just stuck in my body that I'm still learning to process. And we got to teach our kids how to manage their emotions, how to manage stress, no suppression, expression instead.
I completely agree with you. I 1000% get it. It's just absolutely true. It's absolutely true. You know, another thing too, Allie, with thinking patterns, it's so important. Like another point that I would love for moms to be able to take with this and give to their children is really being aware of our kids' thinking patterns and brain health and helping them in those lines. I know you've mentioned in some of your episodes and some of the beautiful work you do, Dr. Daniel Amen's work. You know, and he talks about just automatic negative thinking. And for kids, he calls these ants, A-N-T-S for automatic negative thinking. And he has an ant eater exercise for kids. Like, how cool for kids to be able to, you know, like do this ant eater kind of thing.
He's so brilliant. I love him. We need to get him on the show too.
Oh, he's so good. He's so good. And, you know, just being able to also not just realizing that not all of our feelings, we don't have to completely, of course, let's process them and examine them and all of that. But let's say that we're feeling hopeless and left out. That doesn't mean that we're some loser, you know? You know, yeah. Same thing with like the automatic negative thinking. Well, what if you think you're a failure? Well, that doesn't mean it's true. You know, just really being able to examine. And of course, these are developmental skills. Kids aren't going to get their full executive function until they're adults. But just really being able to, at a beginning level where our kids' development is in line, just really helping our kids to get accurate thinking patterns. And part of that is us, like as a practical step, is us narrating our own healthy thinking as a mom, you know? Yeah. Which is so good. Just narrate out loud. It's like, say you're running late for an appointment. You know, it can be something like, wow, you know, I'm running a little late for this appointment. I'm going to give the office a call and let them know, and I'll apologize. I'll try to give myself more time to prepare to leave the house next time. Everybody runs a little late sometimes. Like, that's narrating healthy thinking versus, oh, I'm always late, can't get out of here on time. What is my problem? Everybody's going to be mad at me. You know, just that distinction. So how can we narrate, you know, in real time, healthier thinking and really using that question, is this true? Mm-hmm. Is this true? Because so many times, Allie, it's not. And we're labeling ourselves in some negative way when we don't need to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. Is this true? And like really just putting it in a perspective, like I am making up all kinds of stories. I am assigning so much negative meaning to something that's really not a big deal.
Totally. Totally. And that's exactly how you would narrate it in front of your kids. That's so good, Allie.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you. Those like little pointing those things out and examples like help so much because I think this is all just a lot and it's so different than what many of us have been doing at home. Yes. So it's like we're rewiring ourselves and like trying to form new habits based on what's going to be healthier. And it's like you have to like so consciously do that. So having those examples like is so helpful.
Good, good. And the whole, it's coming to my mind too, Allie, the whole self-compassion concept, Dr. Mm-hmm. Kristen Neff's beautiful work on self-compassion. Mm-hmm. We have all, I would, you know, venture to say we've all been hard enough on ourselves. How about let's have some self-compassion instead and say, you know what? We're all in learning mode. I'm in learning mode. You're in learning mode. Our mm-hmm. kids are in learning mode. And just if we're doing a little bit of something a little bit better, celebrate that, you know, and we're going to keep learning and keep growing. That's just our part of our human experience.
You know what I just saw something and I wish I could remember who it was from. It was like actually on TikTok and I just want to share it here because I think it's like, maybe it needs to be a whole other episode, but this woman was talking about like, when you are just like really up in your emotions, what could you do to make yourself feel 1% better right now? Instead of trying to like solve all the problems, like, could you just need to like crack your neck, get some water, like go to the bathroom, go for a walk, take a shower, like sit with your kid, like just 1% better, just focus on that. And then it's like, there, you met a need, you took care of yourself. And like, I love that. And I love that in this conversation for teaching that to our kids as well.
So good. 1000% agree. That's so good.
Yeah. Okay. And what else do we need to know? Is there anything else you feel like you want to speak to these parents?
Wow. You know, I will leave it with this, Allie, that in our schools, you know, of course, we're going to work on things in our homes. And we've talked a lot about our schools, too. I just wanted to share, you know, with you and your beautiful listeners, every school principal I talk with, every school counselor, every school social worker, every district superintendent I meet with, they're really saying our kids need this help and our kids need these skills. You know, mm-hmm. especially after, you know, the past couple years, there's so much emotional reactivity, period. Kids who have missed years of working and learning alongside their peers. And we can do this for our kids. Let's just leave on a message of hope that we can do this for our kids. We can make these changes. I'm offering meeting kids' needs for the first time to entire school communities. So it's not taught during the school day, but families in an entire school would get meeting kids' needs. So how great for our kids to go to school with having this instruction. And Allie, it's really my goal. I know this is a ton that we've talked about. Inside the course, it's in 20-minute TED Talk lengths, you know? Mm. So I'm just taking it and making it easy for folks to understand and easy to apply and just giving yourself grace and self-compassion and learning these things and giving our kids the skills that all of us had to learn later.
Mm, yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for like the resources and everything that you put together. I know like I'm really proud of you because we worked on this together, but like it's so helpful. I feel like the things that you've chosen to give away for free are so perfect offer so much support. Just thank you so much. I still have my shirt you gave me.
Oh, I'm so glad. I gave Allie a Meeting Kids Needs shirt.
Yeah, it is so cute. She printed it on a Free People shirt, you guys. She knows me.
Yes. You are known and loved, girl. You are known and loved.
I love you so much.
I love you. Hey, let me end on the more free offers that I have for your moms. Can
yes,
I do that?
Shoot, please.
Sure. So there are gifts for all of you. There's that free lesson I mentioned available for every mom at meetingkidsneeds.com. Just click on try a free lesson and you'll get immediately that emotional vocabulary lesson. And I'm getting great feedback on it. Please enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I'm also randomly selecting one listener from the Purpose Show for a full scholarship to the Signature Meeting Kids Needs course and another listener for 1 hour of private coaching with me. So I will choose those winners from the Try a Free Lesson signups from the first 500 after this episode airs. So head over to meetingkidsneeds.com, click on Try a Free Lesson right away to enter. And for everybody, you can also use the coupon code Allie, A-L-L-I-E, at checkout for Black Friday pricing, like the best pricing I ever offer, over 40% off, or Allie 12, Allie and the number 12 for the payment plan. So meetingkids.com, click on Try a Free Lesson. That's the place to go to get you started and to get you entered. And I would just love to support you and your beautiful kids.
Thank you so much. I love the idea of a giveaway, like that somebody listening can like go on there, download something for free, start getting support, and then end up being able to like talk through their parenting issues with you for an hour.
I would love that. I'm excited to do that. I'm excited to meet some folks in person. So
yeah, of course. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Missy. We love and appreciate you, sending you so much love for giving us this time and your wisdom, and have an amazing day, friend. We'll have you back again for another topic, I'm sure.
Thank you so much, friend. I love you.
Friend, thank you so much for hanging out with me and letting me be a part of your day. It means so much to me. If you would like more like behind the scenes view into my life, this lifestyle, regular like life hacks, tips, and more content that's really gonna create lightness in your social media feed, follow me on Instagram at Ali_that's_me, or you can search Ali Kazaza and it's the one with the blue check mark. If this episode or any episodes was helpful for you, please consider leaving me a review on Apple Podcasts. It is literally the lifeblood for a podcaster and it helps me so much. Thank you for tuning in. If you would like to learn more from me, how I can help you, how you can implement the things we talk about here on The Purpose Show, leaning more into making life simpler, better, and more abundant in the best ways, head to alikazaza.com. There are free downloads, online programs, and other resources to help you create the life you really want in a very deep dive style. I am always rooting for you, friend. I will see you next time. I'm Ali Kazaza, and this is The Purpose Show.